News Talk 1620, WTAW, Kelly Templin here, the city manager from College Station. We're just talking about newspapers we read on the weekend. Did you see David Copperfield's house that he bought in Las Vegas?
I did. Yeah. I confess I did.
I don't understand why he has a nightclub in his house. How does that work?
You know, my wife wanted a nightclub in our house, and I managed to talk her out of it, Scott.
Well, there's probably some sort of deed restriction that would keep you from being able to do that, so I would understand that. Thank you for coming in this morning, because your mayor's not around.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
Well, let's talk, first of all, about that council. Every council's different, but kind of characterize the chemistry that you've had of this council that's going to be breaking up pretty soon.
I think, honestly, the chemistry is the best part of this council. And it's a lot of the subtleties that you notice. I noticed, you know, at most meetings, they share a good laugh. They talk amongst themselves. When you're getting ready to go into executive session, they're chatting about this and that and another. So the greatest thing about this council is the fact that they get along. That's not to say they share the same opinion on every matter, but they respect each other, occasionally they'll get very interested in a subject, get passionate about it and what have you, but I've never seen them be disrespectful either to staff or to each other. So I certainly expect that to continue with the next council, but I will miss the chemistry of this council. And I notice those subtleties when they're up at the dais and they laugh. All of them will start laughing. Mm-hmm. That's a very good sign.
Yeah, they all got into this thing, and I'm sure every one of them, there were days they felt like they didn't want to. Why did this council drive themselves to look at something that is unenforceable, like texting while driving?
Well, that's very interesting, Scott. There are a couple of members of the council that are very concerned about that. To tell you the truth, I don't know anybody that's not concerned about it. I do agree with you that the burden on the police to be able to enforce that is great. I don't think we're going to grab a phone out of somebody's hand and, you know, punch in their code and review their text. So I'm not sure exactly how that'll be enforced. I know that part of it is going to be very troubling to Chief McCollum and his folks. We do know that this comes up every now and then in the legislature. We suspect it will come up again in the next session. Not sure that the state will pass anything. We are one of four states in the nation that do not have a law on texting and driving. I can't tell you who the other three are, but I suspect the legislature will take it up. And I hate to pass something locally, put up $15,000 worth of signs at every entrance mm-hmm. into the city, and then have the legislature change the nature of that so that I have to either modify those signs or take them down altogether. So we have concerns about it, but the public safety is always central to those discussions.
But we start talking about how long does the average traffic stop take? I mean, again, how are you going to be there are going to be any number of situations where the officer has to make a judgment call.
Right.
You're thinking, boy, I could be doing something else for public safety other than this.
Well, I don't think they're going to look at if something passes here, they're not going to look at it as they're not going to pull people over for texting and driving. They're going to look at it almost certainly as a contributing factor in an accident mm-hmm. or an issue. We've had pedestrians hit here where somebody was looking down and texting, you know, and they ran a jogger over. And that certainly, you know, factors into their investigation and what have you. That's when you might subpoena the phone records and look at what has taken place. But as far as sitting on a street corner and looking at people as they motor by, whether they're looking down or looking up, it's almost impossible to prove what it is they're looking at. Is it, is it their homework in their laps or the coffee they've just spilled? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the burden on the police officers would be great.
Yeah, Kelly Templin, city manager of College Station, joining us. So this council is going to break up. There are going to be some new faces in different places. If there's somebody who's thinking about doing this, what kind of advice would you give them if they're going to take on this mantle of public service?
Well, we had our Council 101, and we had a number of people show up at that. I think we talked to them very technically about some of the aspects of the office and their requirements, Open Meetings Act, those sorts of things. And thereafter, we just had a conversation about the amount of time that it takes. And it's not just attending a meeting every 2 weeks and the preparation it takes to read a 300-400-500-page packet to prepare for that. It's the after hours meetings, whether they be social events or your assignments. If you're assigned, say, as a liaison to the Arts Council of the Brazos Valley or the Convention and Visitors Bureau, the Public Health Department, we have liaisons, council liaisons to all those departments. So the time burden is significant. We estimate at least 20 hours a week. The mayor, Mayor Barry, she spends at least that at City Hall. Mm-hmm. And not looking over my shoulder, not just meeting with student groups, meeting with homeowners associations, meeting with any number of groups that have requested an audience with her. She's she's happy to do it, but it's significant. It's practically a full-time job for the mayor.
A&M has decided that among the construction projects, they'll get pretty aggressive into residence housing, and that has changed things for the city of College Station. That in mind, what are you hearing from them? What are they going to be needing from the city in the next few years?
They're working on a campus plan, and we have had access to those discussions. So that's nice. Planning is sort of interesting. I think it was Eisenhower said, planning is everything, plans are nothing, because, you know, after the first shot, the plans go out the window. So I think the university is wise to plan, but I think the circumstances on the ground will change as the pressures come and change from the legislature and the needs of the students. But we need to have more conversations. You mentioned the large student housing project on Luther. I think if we could have planned better to improve, say, in that instance, Luther, to prepare for that, that would have been nice. But that's a good case study. Moving forward, if we have access to their planning discussions and what have you, we'd like to get ahead of some of those issues. And I have to tell you now, we probably have better access to not just the university and their planning and their discussions, but the system and the system agencies. We're engaged with them, meeting on a monthly basis now. So I think a lot of that, the discussion and planning loop has been closed. I don't think they foresee building, you know, another large housing project in the near future. All we ask is that if you're contemplating that, let's have a discussion so that we can talk about the infrastructure needs and, if at all possible, get ahead of those things. So they're certainly open to that, and the discussions are as good or better than I've ever seen them. So I'm very pleased with the discussions we're having and the access that they've given us.
You mentioned the legislature. What are you hearing over there that they might be doing that would impact cities beyond the texting possibility?
Well, it's very early, of course. You know, nothing's been submitted. We don't have any drafted bills or anything like that. But John Rainey and his staff reached out to us. They also reached out to Brian and the county. They met with the county judge, Keene Register, and his staff. They met with me. And they came to us and asked, what are you concerned about? What should we be looking for? And we talked about a number of things. We were very appreciative of John for setting that up and having that discussion. He, as he did in the last session, pledged a lot of access and discussion so that we could keep in touch with him. He's been very good about that. We know that in the Senate, on the Senate side, they're looking at appraisal caps. They're looking at limiting or foregoing involuntary annexation. And I think we need to have long discussions about that and what the impacts are going to be, not just for College Station, but cities and cities' ability to finance infrastructure long term. So without a bill being drafted, it's hard to dissect that and know what the impact's going to be. But those have come up several sessions in a row. We know, or we strongly suspect, they're coming back again. So we want to talk about those. And there will be others. We work very closely with TML. And they're
Texas
they're good,
Municipal League.
Pardon
so
me,
people
the
know,
Texas
sorry.
Municipal yeah. League, which is an excellent organization. And Scott, you know, I've worked in other states. TML surpasses all those other state organizations. So we're going to work very closely with them. They're good about alerting all of the cities about potential impacts. So Aubrey Nettles of my staff actually is monitoring a lot of that legislation and does an excellent job. So we'll stay on top of that.
Sure. What kind of consideration have you made as far as possibly dedicating more sales tax revenue to, well, obviously with Brian, a month since they had their problem with the water and the wind. So is there any consideration of taking more of that revenue and possibly using it for safety and infrastructure improvements?
Well, we're in the middle of budget season. You know, it's kind of interesting because everybody wants, you know, they ask me, you know, where are you going to vacation? Well, it's the summertime, which means it's budget season, so I don't vacation.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sort of stuck to the desk. But sales tax revenue is up over last year, but only marginally. So we don't have some of that one-time money, some of that unanticipated revenue to be able to put towards some expenditures. We typically put that to one-time expenditures like parks improvements. But things are very tight. We do have a low tax rate. So we're trying to apportion that. You know, in the last Citizens Advisory Committee that the city had last year, they identified $120 million in transportation projects alone. And because of our indebtedness cap and what have you, we're only able to leverage $50 million toward that over the next 5 years. So that left us $70 million in identified projects that were unfunded. Well, as we grow, those projects, you know, that list continues to grow as mm-hmm. well. And I can tell you every penny is accounted for in the budget. So The council has the very difficult task of looking at that, understanding those needs. We had the community survey that went out, and transportation, traffic, and the condition of our infrastructure, particularly our roads, you know, came up as very high on that list as citizen concerns. So council takes that very seriously. They had a very long discussion about that, and I think they're going to bring everything they can to bear on transportation projects. And beyond all that, we have to work on our sewer delivery and capacity. If we don't continue to stay ahead of that, you never want to reach the point where you're limiting building permits or something like that. So we're sort of in a dead sprint trying to keep ahead of that. We're experiencing growth like a number of other cities. We're looking at what it is they're doing. We're conferring with them and trying to find a really chart a path forward there. Growth is not a negative thing. It's a positive thing. I wasn't born and raised here. I'm growth. I understand that. And love this community. So I want to see that quality of life continue. And again, that's what we dedicate ourselves to every day. But council has some tough decisions to make in this budget. It's never easy. But they very clearly understand the needs. And public infrastructure is chief amongst them.
Kelly Templin joining us as the city manager from College Station. Both Bryan and College Station are experiencing that growth. You're looking at your ETJs and what needs to be done. Transportation's important. Speak to the part that the cities may have played in the county now looking at changing what the options are for people who need to be developing roads outside your city limits.
Yeah, we're looking at infrastructure standards right now, and particularly pavement. Our ability to maintain our streets, our asphalt streets, are outstripping our ability to keep up with them. And so we're looking at what other communities are doing. I guess a couple of years ago, council identified a possible goal of moving toward a concrete standard or an increased pavement that is a deeper asphalt standard. So Donald Harmon, our director of public works, has been looking at that over the past year, I think, thereabouts. He's been meeting with the Home Builders Association and others to look at what the impacts would be, not just to the city and maintenance long term, but to the impacts of the home builder and what it would do to lot costs. Right now, we're sort of losing that battle of being able to adequately fund that pavement. We're losing ground, being able to keep up with that. Other cities that have gone to a higher standard, either for flexible pavement, which is asphalt, or concrete streets, are staying ahead of that. I always give the example of Elmar Lane in Seabrook, Texas, that was built in concrete in 1964, and we replaced it in 2012. So it certainly has a longer service life. Mm-hmm. Yes, you do pay more up front, but you're not having to fix that street in 5 years or 8 years. So again, we're trying to look at what it takes to amortize those costs. But
what has that point of view done as far as the county is concerned? Because the county seems to have broadened their options.
Well, they're having difficulty keeping up with that infrastructure as well, and that's not unusual. Counties are having to come to grips with that. So I think they're taking a long, hard look at that. Because their maintenance costs are outstripping their abilities as well. So I think we're really all in it together. I think TxDOT, you know, the county, the cities, we're all looking at the same issues. Because as we grow, Texas is still the fastest growing state. Well, no, I take that back. I think, you know, North Dakota may still be up there as
right.
Number one. But we're all dealing with those same issues. The amount of funding may be growing, but not at the pace that the infrastructure needs to be replaced and repaired. So it's a very, very difficult problem. The calculus, you know, you run the numbers again and again and again, and then Scott, you talk about the trying to fund public safety versus trying to fund your infrastructure, and it's a difficult balance. We need more police officers, and you know, those ongoing costs count against being able to maintain our infrastructure.
You mentioned police. Policemen killed in Kansas City yesterday.
Yes.
Of course, Baton Rouge, Dallas. What can you tell us about meetings that you and your assistant Jeff Capps have possibly had with the police department? Where are we there?
Well, I got to tell you, Scott, it's heartbreaking. You know, when everything went down in Dallas, I was up all night. It didn't affect College Station directly, but I was glued to the TV and the news. It was frustrating, you know, with the amount of news that was coming back and everything. But I had to wonder, I mean, how does a police officer saddle up and go to work the next day? What does their spouse say to them as they go out the door? I've worked with, of course, and closely with police officers in every jurisdiction I've worked with. And they're awfully good people. They're awfully good people. My wife said to me, she said, good Lord, it's almost like being a Marine. And I said, no, honey. I said, Marines know when they're in combat. These guys don't. They never know day to day. So it's heartbreaking. It's frustrating. And if you knew the police officers, I think the way I do, you see how they are with their families, how they are with the public, and the care they give to the least of us, you would know how incredibly heartbreaking this is. They're just awfully good people.
Without any specificity, if you decide that you're going to change your response tactic as a police department, what process do you go through?
Well, nothing has changed, you know, on paper with regard to responses here. And I think you and I discussed this a little before we came on the air. I think really the changes in the thinking of the officers, you know, in their head as they get in that car. I mean, they're having to be doubly careful. They're having to look at things as they approach a scene. So nothing has changed, and nothing has changed in their dedication to their job or what have you. But you have to think nationwide. Police officers are wondering: is this a real call? Are you waiting for another unit to show up? A lot of jurisdictions are doubling up in cars, and you know, we're looking at doing that here at least during the night shift. It's a very tough profession, and. You know, again, my heart goes out to them. I appreciate them every time I see them. I really do. They do a fantastic job. They're certainly underappreciated. But nothing has changed with regard to the dedication of the College Station Police Department. Part of me, you know, I'd love to get inside their heads and find out what they're thinking. I have no idea what their spouses are thinking. Mm-hmm. But it's a very troubling time. And folks, they're the difference between, we're law of nations. They're law and order. And again, when you see them in church and in the grocery store and at the Little League game, they're just like us. Yeah. They just put themselves out there day after day. And if you're not willing to do their job and don't appreciate them, then, you know, pick up a firearm and stand a post.
Yeah. Okay, how long have you been here?
Going on 3 years.
Okay, so what's harder about this job and what's easier now?
The job gets easier especially because I've been working with the same counsel the entire time. So... you reach a point where you can finish each other's sentences to some degree, but the council's made it easy on me. I've worked closely with, I've had one mayor, Nancy Berry, and you know, the mayor's a phenomenal public servant. She doesn't make a dime to do the job. As a matter of fact, I think it cost her plenty to do the job because of the meetings she goes to, the expenditures she incurs. But the council's made it easy on me. They really have. It's because of our growth pressures and what have you. It's not necessarily an easy job, but dealing with the council's, you know, is not a tough part of the job. It's really not. So I appreciate the. I have to remember that although we don't always agree on subjects or they don't always necessarily, you know, follow my advice lockstep, they're doing this gratis. So. I never doubt their motivation. And dealing with council again is the easiest part. Working with staff, you get used to your styles and everything like that. So that's, I think, gotten easier. The tough part is always, the toughest part of the job is the budget every year. But Jeff Kirsten and his staff make that easy on me. So I don't have any complaints. I really don't. The dynamic will change with the next council. I think the challenges will still be there. But if you've seen cities that aren't growing, you know that growth is certainly preferable to the alternatives.
Without a doubt. Yeah. Yes, sir. Thanks for the time this morning.
I enjoyed it, Scott.
Yep. That's Kelly Templin. He's the College Station City Manager.